Kevin suggested I come up here and sing a special with him, but I'm not. So you can breathe again. We are glad to have him. And Brother Parsons is gone, asked me to preach today. I need all the help I can get, so I've asked him to take my Sunday school lesson. He's a great Bible student. God has used him in a tremendous way. Of course, you know Kevin's testimony. He got saved here, and God's using him. And he's got his table back there, some books on it. I encourage you to take a look at it. And I believe you're in for a blessing this morning. Thank you for being here. Now, he is here because I think of Sonny's brother-in-law, and y'all keep praying for Sonny. Amen.
Thank you, preacher. It's an honor to be here this morning. As Pastor said, my brother-in-law, Brother Sonny Waldo, is in intensive care up in Orlando at the Advent Hospital there. He had an aneurysm burst in his abdomen, and he's in bad shape. He's been there in ICU for 3 weeks, and finally I couldn't take it any longer, so I had to come down and to be with him. I canceled all of my meetings and things and just came down here to be with him and be with my sister Linda. And I appreciate you continue to pray for him. He's got tubes everywhere and they're feeding him through a tube. He's on oxygen and they're trying to get his heart right. They're trying to get his blood pressure right. I mean, he's in bad shape. He's in tough shape. And one thing about Sonny is he's tough as a boot. I mean, that guy is, he just always been tough. So he had a good day yesterday. He was very alert, and he wasn't chasing any of the nurses or anything like that. And so that's pretty good. But he's been confined to that bed for 3 weeks now, so appreciate your prayers for my brother-in-law. I want to take a short while this morning. Now, first off, let me give an advertisement for my First Mentioned Study Bible. It's been in paperback form for the last 2 years, but last September it came out in leather. So it's in one volume. It's the First Mentioned Study Bible. Of course, it's King James. If you don't have King James Bible, you have a Catholic counterfeit. Amen. And so it's King James Bible, but every word in the King James Bible that shows up for the first time it shows up, it's going to be in bold type. So as you read the scripture, you know immediately that's the first time that word shows up in the Bible. And of course, it excites other studies. And then if it appears only one time in the Bible, then the word will not only be in bold type, but it'll be also underlined. So you can recognize those immediately. And then behind each book, behind the book of Exodus, behind the book of Numbers, right on through, I place what I call my nuggets, commentary or my observations on the scripture that you just got through reading. And so it's a good study tool. It'll help you. And I've always done First Mentioned Studies my whole Christian life. And in my old Bible, every time I would get a new brand of King James Bible, I would start in AA Aaron in my Strong's Concordance, and I would go to that passage the first time that word mentioned, and I would underline it in a certain color so that as I was reading my Bible, I would know immediately, first time. Well, that helped me so much in my personal studies that I said, well, Lord, maybe it'll help somebody else. So there you've got it. It's on the back table. It's put out by Church Bible Publishers. They do a great job. It's a lifetime Bible. That Bible will not fall apart on you. It's Smith's sown, but it's sown twice. It's sown both ways. So it lays open. When it lays open, it won't fall apart. So I appreciate you looking at that. We're right at the jumping off place, folks. We are right at the jumping off place. I mean, with the war going on in the Middle East and the Iran attacking Israel and America fixed to turn her back on Israel. We are in a mess. When we turn our back on Israel, God will judge us. And it will not be pretty. And so all that's in the news. So it got me to thinking about the rapture of the church, of course, and immediately after the rapture of the church, then sometime afterward, there'll be a seven-year tribulation period. And during that seven-year tribulation period, the Antichrist will show himself. That is Satan's seed. That is the seed of Satan. That is the Antichrist. Now, I'm going to give you a list of 18 different Antichrist types in the Bible. And you don't have to make a list. Just later on, you can go back and watch the video again. But I'm going to give them to you real quick, and then I'm going to make a comment on a few of them. But the first one that we find in the Bible now, an Antichrist is anybody that opposes a type of Christ. For instance, the first one I have listed is Cain in Genesis chapter 4. Cain, who is a type of the devil, slew Abel, who is a type of Christ. Cain was a worker and tiller of the ground. Abel was a shepherd, type of Christ. And so Cain got angry at Abel and slew him. That's the first type of the Antichrist that shows up in the Bible, and that's in Genesis chapter 4. So every time you see someone opposing or going against Israel or going against a type of Christ, then they can be classified as an Antichrist. And now we know that the number of the Antichrist is 666. So every one of these Antichrist types are covered up with the number 6 and the number 13. 13 is the number for rebellion, the number for anything that is wicked and accursed. And so when you come across a 13 in the Bible, you can bet that there's going to be something about wickedness or evil or something that is accursed going to be in the text. And when you run across a number 6, number 6 is the number for man. But when you get a 6 and a 13 that cross, you're looking at a spiritual train wreck coming. And so be aware of those things. But the Antichrist is covered up with the number 6 and the number 13. Now, the number 13 is the number for rebellion. And it's the sixth prime number. So 6 and 13 are joined together at the hip. And man has been rebelling against God ever since the Garden of Eden. So those two numbers have always been associated with man and wickedness. And so the Bible has patterns that it gives us. And the Bible is one message, and it's repeated over and over. I mean, the same patterns is just repeated over because we're kind of stupid, you know. We read something and we forget it. And God, so the Lord put patterns in here, and they repeated themselves over and over and over. And so the number 6 and 13, if you can remember those two numbers, when you're reading the Bible, and even the chapter and verse divisions, like a chapter 6, verse 13, train wreck. Chapter 13, verse 6, train wreck. A multiple of 6, like chapter 18, verse 18, bad. Chapter 13 with an 18, which is 3 sixes, is also a train wreck. Now, Revelation 13, 18 is, of course, 13 rebellion, 18 is 666. We have the number of the Antichrist, the number of the beast, and his number is 666. And that phrase just happens to be 26 letters long, which is 2 times 13. It's in a chapter 13 with a verse 18. So you've got those numbers surrounding and just going crazy on the Antichrist. And so the Lord has used those the chapter and verse divisions in the Bible to give us road signs, to give us an avenue to run on. Now, so I'm going to give you these real quick. You don't have to write them down. You can watch them later. But the first one, like I said, is Cain. Cain slew Abel, his brother, in Genesis 4. The next one is Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10. Nimrod is the sixth descendant from Cush. He is in chapter 10 of Genesis. And chapter 10, verse 10, it says that Nimrod was a mighty hunter. And that's the first time the word kingdom shows up in the Bible. So Nimrod means black cat, it means panther, and it means rebel. Shows up in a 10:10, and he's the first world leader to show up in the Bible. So he is a great type of the Antichrist. And his name also means rebel. His domain is Babel, which we would call Babylon, in the land of Shinar. And Babylon and the Antichrist are connected from way back in Genesis chapter 10 all the way down to Revelation chapter 18, 17, 18. Babylon the Great, mother of harlots, Babylon, 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 all the way through that. And so Nimrod is a great type of the Antichrist. The third one is Esau. Esau, of course, was the brother, twin brother of Jacob. Esau vowed to destroy Jacob whenever Jacob stole the birthright. So Esau, there threatening and to kill Jacob, makes him a type of the Antichrist. Jacob is a type of Christ, even though he's a rascal like we all are. There's things in his life that he had a miracle birth, and I mean, just I could go on and on with the types that makes him a type of Christ. And so Esau is the third one. Number four is Pharaoh. Pharaoh from Exodus chapter 1 to Exodus chapter 14. He's a world leader. He is persecuting the Jews. He has them in bondage for 430 years in the land of Egypt. And so he goes against them, of course. Moses delivers them, and then he goes against them and is drowned in the Red Sea. Now that's the Red Sea opening and the people of God going across and Pharaoh coming in behind is a picture. It's a picture of when the heavens open, the church of God goes out and the devil comes up behind us and closes on him and destroys him, casts him down to the earth because he knows he has a short time. And so Pharaoh is a great type of the Antichrist. So when you read in the story of Pharaoh, think about him as a type of the Antichrist. And that's in Exodus 1 through 14. Balak in Numbers chapter 22 is a great type of the Antichrist. He hires a false prophet to go against Israel and to curse Israel. And of course, we know that the Antichrist in the book of Revelation has a false prophet that goes before him and proclaims his greatness. Well, the same with Balak here. Now, so then the next one is Sisera in Judges chapter 4. Sisera persecuted the people of God, and you know that how he died with a stake in his head. Well, all of these types of Antichrist are going to have similarities in the way they died. They have a mortal wound to the head, or they'll be hung on a tree or on a wall. Like Judas Iscariot, he betrayed the Lord, and he went out and hung himself. Well, that's a type of those others in the Bible that have betrayed the Lord. And so we have Sisera there in Judges chapter 4 with a spike through his head, mortal wound to his head. The next one is in Judges chapter 9, and that's Abimelech. Abimelech fights against the children of God, and he is also destroyed with a wound to the head. A piece of millstone drops down out of a tower and breaks his skull. So that you have that association there with his head wound, with his death, and the fact that he's persecuting the people of God. Then the next one, believe it or not, is King Saul, the first king of Israel. He persecuted David, who's the great type of Christ in the Bible. And King Saul chased him all over the wilderness and threatened to kill him and sought after him. And David kept eluding and kept getting away from him. But Saul is a great type of the Antichrist. The next one is in 1 Samuel 17 is Goliath. Goliath is a great type of Antichrist. And I'm gonna focus on him in just a minute with some of the things that's surrounding his life. The number six, the numbers 13 that's presented in 1 Samuel 17. And so I'll go back to him in a minute. But the next one would be Absalom, the son of David. Absalom. David, a type of Christ, abdicated the throne. Absalom came in, set himself up as the ruler over Israel, and was sending armies out to kill David, his own dad. And Absalom, as you know, had beautiful locks, and he was riding his mule trying to get away from the army, and his hair got caught up in a branch, and so he hung there by the head until somebody came by and killed him. Amen. Amen. So there you have that head, and you have that association there with Absalom. Now, Absalom, I don't have time right now, but in 2 Samuel 18, 18, that's 666 and a 666, in the 12th book of the Bible, which is 2 times 6, you have Absalom rearing up a pillar unto himself, like an image, like Nebuchadnezzar's image. Well, now Absalom raised up a pillar unto himself and called it after his own name. So there you have a great type of the Antichrist. And also when they killed him, they throwed him in a pit, like the Antichrist right now, Judas Iscariot, is in the bottomless pit waiting to be resurrected. Well, they threw Absalom in the pit and covered the pit with stones. He's coming back, though. In Revelation chapter 9, the spirit of Antichrist, Judas Iscariot, is going to come back and fill the body of the Antichrist. Now, so you have Absalom, and that's a great type. The next one is Jeroboam. He persecuted the family of God, Judah, and the types of Christ. The next one is Ahab. Of course, he was married to that wicked woman, Jezebel. Jezebel is a type of the whore of Babylon, is a type of the Catholic Church, is a type of the false religion of the end times. And listen, the great whore of Babylon, that's been going on since Nimrod. That's not something new. That same religion has been going on under different names and different guises, but it's the same nonsense. So you have Ahab, who is the husband of Jezebel. And then the next one is Sennacherib, King Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, which is 13 letters, shows up in the 12th book of the Bible, which is 2 times 6, in the 18th chapter, and there's in the 13th verse. So you've just got 6s and 13s all over the place. And he was the king of Assyria, 13 letters. He shows up in chapter 18, verse 13. That's 666 and a 13 together. And like I said, anytime you got a 6 and a 13 together, it's going to be a train wreck spiritually. Okay, the next one is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar took the Judah and Benjamin captive into Babylon in 606 B.C. And the phrase King of Babylon is 13 letters. And he persecuted, of course, the children of God, took them into captivity. Now, the name Nebuchadnezzar, I know this is just a coincidence, just happens to appear 91 times in the Bible. 91 is 7 times 13. So you've got associations and you've got links between those numbers and between those types of the Antichrist. The next one is found in Esther chapter 3, and his name is Haman, H-A-M-E-N or A-N, Haman. And he persecuted the children of God while under King Ahasuerus, and he built a gallows for Mordecai, and of course him and his 10 sons were hanged by the neck on that gallows, a type of the Antichrist. And the story of Haman is a great story in that all the types that is presented there. And the Lord's just given us a pattern and a picture of what is to come. What is to come? The entire Old Testament is future history. It's something that is yet to be done. And the Lord keeps giving us pattern after pattern after pattern. So all 10 sons of Haman were hung. And you remember how many kings there will be in the tribulation period? The Antichrist will have 10 kings, like the 10 toes on Daniel's image. And so Haman, the top of the Antichrist, has 10 sons that were hanged by the neck. The next one is Caesar in Luke chapter 3, when he was persecuting the Jews because of the baby Jesus. The next one is Herod in Matthew chapter 2. And Herod, as you know, is a picture of Pharaoh. You remember Pharaoh killed all the babies in Egypt. And he would take all the male babies and throw them to the crocodiles. Well, Herod is a type of Antichrist in that when the wise men appeared to him, he said, "Where is he at? Go find him and I'll come and worship him." And so they left. But the Lord told him, don't go back to him. And so Herod killed every child in Bethlehem, Judah, that was 2 years old and less. Great type of the Antichrist there, Herod the Great. And of course, number 18 is Judas Iscariot. He was the original Antichrist. He was the 13th person in the room at the Last Supper. There were 13 people present, the Lord Jesus and the 12, and Judas Iscariot was always counted last as one of the disciples because of his deception and betrayal. So there were 13 people there. And here's something strange to me, and I just love to think about it, how that the Lord at the Last Supper girded himself, took off his clothes and then girded himself with a towel, and went around and washed every foot of every disciple, including Judas Iscariot. Washed his feet, knowing what he was going to do. Of course, Judas Iscariot, 13 letters. The phrase, the Antichrist, 13 letters. He is called the son of perdition. He's called the man of sin. So Judas Iscariot was the one that betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever he went and hung himself, of course, you know, first off, he betrayed the Lord. Then he went back to the priest to confess his sin. They couldn't help him. And the priest can't help you. And the priest can't help me. He went to the wrong people. If Judas Iscariot, I believe this will warm my heart, had gone outside to Golgotha, and had got on his knees before a dying Savior and said, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me," I believe God would have forgave him. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He would have saved him. And so then, so he went back to the priest, threw the money down, which is found in the book of Zechariah, and he went out and hung himself. There again, you have the association with his hanging of his head and his mortality. But then the book of Acts chapter 1 says a very unusual thing. It says that when he died, he went to his own place. His own place. Didn't say he went to hell. Didn't say he went to the grave. He said he went to his own place. The spirit of Antichrist inside Judas Iscariot went to the bottomless pit where it is right now. And it will be resurrected when the Antichrist, the man of sin, is assassinated in the tribulation, in the 7-year tribulation period. And then whenever that Antichrist is resurrected from the dead, like a fake Christ, like after 3 days, then the spirit of Judas Iscariot that's in the bottomless pit will come back and be placed back into that body of the Antichrist that's laying there in state. So he's called the son of perdition, the man of sin, went to his own place. His own place is called the bottomless pit, and it just happens to be 13 letters. And it just happens to appear 13 times in the Bible. Folks, you can't get around this book. If you've got a King James Bible, you've got the right book. Don't let anybody take this book out of your hand. The devil would like nothing more than for you to give your sword away for a butter knife. Don't do it. Now, look with me if you would. So that's all 18 of the types of Antichrist. But I want you to look with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. So we've looked at the types of the Antichrist. There's 18 of them that I've been able to find. And there's 21 types of Christ, which is 3 times 7, of course. And 7 is the number of perfection and completion. But I want you to notice something here in chapter 3 of Genesis. You know, in verse number 15, we have the first prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ by virgin birth. Look at Genesis 3, 15. I'm in 2. 3, 15, the Bible says, the Lord talking to serpent and to Eve and to Adam. He says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed." So the serpent has a seed. Of course, we know this is the devil. This is Satan in that serpent. And he says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed." Now, that's the first time that the prophecy of the virgin birth shows up in the Bible. And it goes from Genesis chapter 3 all the way through to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what it says. "I'll put enmity between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head." See the connection? And the types of Antichrist will have a connection to a wounded head, as all those that I gave you. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Now, we're in chapter 3, verse 15. 3 and 15 just happens to be 18, which is 666. So you not only have the first prophecy of the virgin-born Son of God, you also have the prophecy of the seed of Satan that's going to be born of miraculous means, like Rosemary's Baby, things like that. So the first time that you have a prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, you also have the seed of the serpent right there with him. And he stays with him through the whole Bible. The devil is a counterfeit. The devil mimics, and the devil, he can't do anything on his own, so he has to counterfeit what God does. And so right here you have Christ, Antichrist. You keep going, you have Christ, you'll have Antichrist. And so the devil keeps counterfeiting God all the way through the Bible. Now, hurriedly go with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I've got 5 minutes, so you're going to have to listen real quick. Brother Carter's always complaining that you folks don't listen fast enough. Well, I'm telling you, you don't listen fast enough. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture, then I'm going to give you the 6s and 13s associated with Goliath, who is one of the great types of Antichrist in the Bible. Goliath was persecuting David. He came against David. He came against the children of God. He came against and defied the God of Israel. And so here in 1 Samuel 17, we have the story of Goliath. All of you know the story, so I'm not going to comment on that, but I'm just going to show you the associations of those two numbers with him. All right, let's look at verse number 4. "And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath," 13 letters, "whose height was 6 cubits and a span." 6 cubits. Now, a lot of people think that's 18 inches. I think it's 24 inches if you're looking at a giant. So you've got a guy standing here that's at least 12'6", which is 666, or it could even be 13 feet, which is also another number for the Antichrist. And so he says, "Goliath of Gath." Now, the name Goliath appears 6 times in the Bible, just 6 times, "whose height was 6 cubits and a span," probably 12 foot, 6 inches, or 666. And then it shows us his 6 pieces of armor. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. And matter of fact, his head is mentioned 6 times in this passage. 6 times 6. He had a helmet of brass upon his head. He had armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. 5 is the number of death. He was covered with death. He had a brass nail. He had a brass greaves and things like that. She's covered with judgment, covered with brass. Verse 6, he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and that's like lead guards, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. So there's another 6. And one bearing a shield went before him. So he had a forerunner, as the Antichrist will have a forerunner in the book of Revelation. And so you have those 6 and 6 and 6 and 6. Now, pretty soon, David, the type of Christ, is going to pick up 5 smooth stones. 5 is the number of death. And he's going to sling one of those stones, and it's going to hit Goliath in the forehead. He's going to fall down. David's going to run over, take his sword out of his armor bearer's hands, cuts off his head. Now, the word Goliath means one stripped and exiled. Like Lucifer, when he sinned against God, he's the first sinner in the Bible, was Lucifer. God stripped him of his glory and exiled him to the second and first heaven, first and second heaven. And so here Goliath, his name means one that is stripped and exiled. The name Goliath appears 6 times in Scripture. His height, again, 6 cubits and a span, probably 12, 6. He has 6 pieces of armor. There's 6 references to Goliath's head in this passage. He has one that goes before him. If you count the words that Goliath speaks in this passage, he speaks 120 words, which is a multiple of 6. The phrase "the Philistine" shows up for the first time in verse number 8. And the phrase "the Philistine" is 13 letters. The phrase "the enemy of God," 13 letters. And not only on top of that, but David, a type of Christ, speaks 130 words to Goliath, which is a 13 times 10. Folks, you just can't get away from it. David took 5 things with him. He took a staff, a stone, a shepherd's bag, a script, and a sling, and it destroyed the Antichrist. Folks, this Bible is so much more than just Jonah and the whale. This Bible is so much more than just Daniel in the lion's den. This is God's Word. The King James Bible is God's holy, inspired, preserved Word. And what are you going to do with it this afternoon when you get home? Go lay it on your coffee table, never look at it again until Wednesday night. God help us. God help us. Preacher, you come.